Mark 8, 31 through 38 will be our text, but we're going to actually look at two other examples, or three examples, before we get to the statement that was just read as it was made by Jesus. One evening, Farmer Ted's wife announced that the grandkids would be coming the next morning. So she had decided she was going to be making biscuits, gravy, eggs, and fresh country ham for breakfast. Old Bossy, the milk cow, heard the announcement and called a meeting of all the barnyard animals to give everyone the heads up. With a whine in her voice, she said, "I cannot believe she's making a homemade breakfast in the morning. She has not done that in years. You know what it means. Instead of waiting until it warms up, Farmer Ted will be down here at the crack of dawn to milk me. His hands are so cold, first thing in the morning, I will probably jump over the moon and they'll write a song about me." About that time, Amelia Egghart, the head setting hen, spoke up. "I don't know why you're complaining. At least there's only one of you. When he comes to gather eggs that early, he ruffles the feathers of every laying hen in the hen house. With my brood and that noise, there's no way I'll ever get any sleep." "Big deal," said Beauregard the gristmill mule. "At least he'll not harness you to a grindstone and make you walk around in circles so he can grind flour. I do not care how cold it is out there. I will get all hot and sweaty and I'll have to take a bath before Gertrude will let me back in my stall." Expecting to hear a complaint from everyone, Bossy looked around at that point to see who was missing. Not seeing the pigs represented, she asked, "Where's Ham Hock?" Rufus, the venerable old guard dog and sage of the yard, who'd not said a word because he didn't have a dog in this fight, spoke up. In his slow, deep southern drawl, he said, "He's over there in the corner, hiding under the horse blankets." Sure enough, all you could see of Ham Hock was his quivering tail sticking out. Beauregard needed him to quit being a scaredy pig and come join the meeting. Ham Hock just rooted farther underneath the blankets. All the animals began discussing what was wrong with Ham Hock until Rufus, the wise one, quieted them. "It's obvious. If you guys would stop whining about how inconvenient this is to you, the farmer's wife is only asking you for a contribution. She's asking Ham Hock for a lifetime commitment." There is a world of difference between those two. Not only when you are a barnyard animal. And so that is our thought tonight. The difference between contributing and making a lifetime commitment is the difference between inconvenience for a short amount of time and total sacrifice. It's the difference between giving part and giving all. And so we're going to look at three examples, and then we're going to get to Mark chapter 8. Let's start in Luke 18, a familiar story. We know it really well. Starting in verse 18, a certain ruler questioned him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus, trying to get him to understand whom he was addressing, said, "Why do you call me good? No one's good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother." He said, "All these things I've kept from my youth." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you possess and distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come follow me." When he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Do you notice it? The rich young ruler was good in his conversation with Jesus. He was willing to contribute some of his time to honor his father and his mother. Some of his life to not steal, not commit adultery. Some of his effort to do the right thing. And he was good with the first part of the conversation. But he was content only with being a contributor. Content to stand on the outside and watch. When Jesus said, "Hey, I need you to commit." When Jesus asked him to do more than contribute. When Jesus asked him to jump in with both feet. Ask him to give up everything. He balked. He didn't stay. He didn't even want to debate it with Jesus. Now then, you read Matthew and Mark, the text only says he went away. In my mind, maybe sometimes too detailed or too overactive, I picture him walking away, but trying to maintain his dignity while he fights back the urge to run away like a madman. Because I'm not giving everything. I'm not committing. I'm not jumping into the fire with both feet. Like you're asking me to, Jesus. I'm out of here. Total commitment was not what he wanted. He had no desire to give up all the creature comforts. And follow Jesus, a man who, what? He said, "I don't even have a place to lay my head. You give it all up and follow me. There's no roof over your head when you lay down at night unless somebody opens his or her home." A little inconvenience? Maybe. Maybe. A little time, a little effort. I might even give you a large contribution, Jesus, if you ask. I might hand you a bag or two, but don't ask for all of it. Don't ask for everything. Difference in contributing. Making a commitment. Commitment was too much to ask. There's another. Acts chapter 5. A certain man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself with his wife's full knowledge. Bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. Peter confronts him, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained sold, did it not remain to yours? After it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you've conceived this deed in your heart? You've not lied to men, but to God." And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came upon all who heard it. Young men arose, covered him up, and after carrying him out, they buried him. Some 3 hours later, Sapphira comes in and perpetuates the same lie. When this practice began in Acts chapter 2, at the very end there, it was not by command. They were free will offerings. The church started this on their own. You have all these people who have descended on Jerusalem. They're staying for the apostles' teachings. They're not going home. And so they're taking it upon themselves to meet each other's needs. That same thing is continuing at the end of chapter 4, where we met Barnabas, where we see others doing the same thing. It is not compulsory. There is no mandatory amount. There was nothing that said if you sell a piece of property, you have to bring every last dime, that you have to commit that whole amount. In fact, from this conversation, it's totally up to the giver. "Ananias, what's wrong with you, man? When you own the property, who's what? It was yours. You could do with it whatever you wanted to do. All right, well, you sold it. You get X amount of dollars. Guess what? It's still under your control. Do what you want to do with it. Nobody told you you had to bring it and give it to us. And whatever you bring and give to us is good. Nobody told you an amount." So Ananias and Sapphira get in on the giving. The difference, and this appears to be the case at least at the end of chapter 4, kind of in the way it's worded, is that in most of these cases, all of the proceeds from whatever was being sold was being given, but it was being given by choice. So what do we see? Ananias and Sapphira, however, give only a portion. But they act like it was the total price of the sale. So they sold an acre for $18,000. They brought $10,000, but they acted like $10 was all they got for it. And they pocketed $8. Had every right to do that. But not to present it that way. When confronted, they perpetuate the lie. Sapphira carries it on. That's why they die. It was not the amount that they gave. But what I want you to see tonight is this. They were willing to contribute, but only if it cost them however much they were willing to be inconvenienced. They didn't want to commit. They didn't want to give all, but they did want to appear like they were giving all. Now here's the third, and then we're going to come to our text. And that is not the right text. And I've completely... Ed, where's the... I no longer have any idea what I'm talking about. See, this was going to be where I went to the main text. And I changed my mind and I added a third story of the poor widow and her two mites. Yeah, it's in Luke. But it's not. Is it 8? The end of 8? Help. Somebody go to the back of your Bible and find it. The sweat's going to start rolling down my back. And... Tony, lead us on something. Somebody bail me out. I'm not touching your dirty phone. I don't want your Google. No, you find it. The poor widow. Never mind. You know where it's at. No, you don't, or you'd have told me. But anyway. Jesus goes to the temple. And he's watching the line of what? Of free will offerings, of temple offerings, and maybe some of the tithing that's going on, being made as they walk by that big brass, that big gold pot that they would drop it into. And he's just kind of observing, and he's sitting with his 12. And as he watches the wealthy go through, and maybe the rich young ruler's one of them, maybe he's going to try to get Jesus off his mind. I don't know, I'm just speculating there. But as the wealthy go through, they're dropping in their large sacks of money. And you can hear the bags as they hit. There's a world of difference in a sack of coins that big around and two pennies. When a poor widow, and here's the definition of commitment. When a poor widow with exactly two coins to her name, and oftentimes preachers get hung up in trying to tell you how much those two coins are worth. It absolutely doesn't matter how much those two coins are worth. Mark 12. That was close. It doesn't matter how much the two coins are worth. It matters that she has exactly two to her name. When it comes her turn, she drops both of them in the collection. Hardly a sound. And remember now, Matthew chapter 6, historical references, the practice was to sound trumpets when they gave large amounts. To let everybody know and everybody would get a chance to pat them on the back for being generous. Probably not much of a peep when she gave her two coins. But again, I want to emphasize what's going on, what Jesus is about to comment on. Has nothing to do with the size of the gift. That's not the issue. If he's blessed you a lot, give a lot. If he's blessed you a little, give a little. That is not why Jesus does not comment on their generosity or their lack thereof. It was up to each one of them what to give. What he does comment on is the contrast between their contributing and her committing. Because I promise you, if you take the last dime you have to your name and you put it in the pot, you have committed everything you have to God. And you're expecting God to come through. She just gave every last penny she had to her name. Her life is now entirely in the hands of God. She's a widow. And the fact that she only has two coins means either she didn't have children, or they're not taking care of her, or they have passed away, or whatever. She is destitute. Contributors. In our original story, the cow, the hens, the mule, they're inconvenienced when you got to get up and be milked bright and early in the morning. Or the hen house gets disturbed while you're trying to take care of your brood. Or you got to grind flour. They'll all get over it. It's not that big of a price. Commitment like ham hock. Those people are in it for life. They're giving absolutely everything there is to give. Contributors are okay with giving as long as they can get past the inconvenience and keep what they want. Those who commit give it all up and trust the Lord with the investment and with the life. Paul was committed. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12, "This reason I also suffer these things. I'm not ashamed. I'm not worried about the cost, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he's able to protect what I've entrusted to him until that day." That's what that widow said. I'm convinced that he's able to entrust my life. I can give it to him. He'll protect it. Spiritually, the difference between contributing and committing is the difference between life and death. Now go back to our text and let's listen again as Jesus speaks. He's just asked him, "Who do you say that I am?" "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." Okay, Peter, you've honed in on it. God's taught you something he hadn't taught the rest of them, so I'm fixing to explain some more things to you guys because I need your back. I need you standing with me. I'm about to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to die. I'm going to suffer a whole lot of things, and I'm going to die, and I need you to commit to that. And the next thing Peter does is what? No. That's not happening. All right? We'll come up with another plan. We'll go somewhere else. That's not what's going to happen. So he summons, verse 34, the multitude with his disciples. He says, "Peter, I need to get you to understand. I need you to understand the difference in you contributing to my ministry like you've been doing and you committing to the plan of God. If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's sake shall save it. What shall a man be profit if he gains the whole world and forfeits a soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Focus on verse 35. Suddenly, earth-shattering, heaven-declared truth reverses the thinking of mankind if they will buy into it. Contributors, like what we've been talking about, think they're saving their lives by not giving all. I'll give God this much, but I'm going to bank my life on what's left. That's mine. I'm going to hoard it, and I'm going to take care of my own life. What did he say? You just lost it. Committers, those who are willing to jump in with both feet, to stand in the collection tray, to put in the two mites, to entrust everything like Paul said, understand that it may cost them even a physical life. Jesus says it's the exact opposite. He says those who contribute up until the point that it might cost them their lives are actually going to lose their lives. And those who commit, those who are willing to give up everything, including their lives, will be the ones who live. Commitment brings life. Contributing only brings death. So this may sound odd, but what we need to understand tonight is Jesus is not looking for contributors. The cattle on a thousand hills belong to Him. It all belongs to Him already. He's looking for those who will commit the one thing that He cannot take from us. Remember what Job said when he lost most everything? The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. It's His. He can do whatever He wants with it. I can wake up tomorrow, be absolutely dead broke, without a home, and no clothes, lying in the snow, and I have no right to complain because God's blessed me for the first 50 years of my life. It always has been His. But the one thing that is within my power to withhold from Him is me. He'll not force me to give it up. He'll not force me to commit. Now, here's the thing. I said He's not looking for contributors. If I commit, I'm going to contribute. I'm going to contribute everything I have and more. All my energy, all my money, all my time, all my life. Then He's got both. It begins at Calvary and it continues. He said, I need you to take up your cross. I need you to commit everything that you are, everything that you have, and everything that you will ever be to the plan. He said, you do that and you'll live because you're doing it for my sake. But He said, if you're going to try to protect your life for your sake by just giving just enough to appease your conscience, He said, you're going to lose your life. You can gain the whole world at that point. Rich young ruler walked away rich. But if he never found his way back to Jesus, he died a lost rich man. And my mind immediately jumps to the rich man and Lazarus. Makes you almost wonder if it's the same people. Never know. But the attitude's the same. I'm going to hold on to what's mine. Are you a contributor? Or are you committed? If you've never given your life to Jesus in obedience to the gospel, you haven't committed yet. If you gave it but then took back the part that you wanted to keep to do your thing with, you hadn't committed. If you can't look at your life tonight and see that everything you have, everything that you are, everything that you will ever be, and everything that you have is in His hands, please come and commit as we stand and sing.